I picked this message because we live in some pretty bad times right now. The name of the message that I'm going to bring you today is called, Where is God? Now, I don't have to tell you what kind of days we're living in, but we know that we're living in some bad times. We have problems that we think probably have never been surpassed by man ever. And yet, if you could turn back the clock, problems have always been there. But we have a pandemic that's just got everybody in fear and panic. We've got financial problems that's unbelievable. Prices are going up faster than anybody can remember. We've got world problems. This one's going to attack this one. This one's going to attack that one. There's problems all over the world. And fear controls man every day. We're afraid. So, let me ask you once again then. Where is God? Where is He? You see, I look out at you guys and I know that I won't even ask you to raise hands or even call out names or numbers, but I know that most of us have probably been Christians for quite a while, right? You accepted God or Christ into your life a long time ago, so we've been Christians for years. How many of you have ever seen God? Now, I'm not talking about in here some picture that you may have come up with what God looks like. It's not what I'm talking about at all. I see Mona back there, and I see you guys sitting over here. I see you. I know you. How many of you have seen God? You see, we haven't seen God. But wouldn't you think that now would be a perfect time for God to appear? I mean, to us, we've got problems that are unbelievable. Wouldn't this be a great time for God to just show up and show everybody that He is real? You know, we know that as Christians, we're supposed to follow certain guidelines and everything that God set for us. But if it only takes being good to be in God's presence or to see God, then wouldn't you think that someone like maybe a Billy Graham or somebody like that that's really good, don't look at me, but look at Billy Graham or somebody, wouldn't you think that he's actually seen God? But I never heard him say that he did either. He's never seen God, or at least not before. Maybe he has now. But this, we know because of all the trouble that's going on in the world today, to us it would be the perfect time for God to come and put an end to all this speculation. Is He real or is He not? Why don't you just come on down and said, here I am, and put an end to all the speculation. He'd remove all the deception that Satan is so busy spreading every day now that God is not real. Can't you see the mud on Satan's face when God comes down and says, here I am. You want to talk about something? Let's talk. You see, He'd put an end to all that deception right now. He does exist. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, that's Satan, the God of this age, the God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. You see, if you're an unbeliever, he's got you believing that there is no such thing as God. He has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He is God. So, then, come on down, God. Take these people that curse you every day and call you all kinds of names. Come down and set them straight that you are real, and let them know that what they're doing is wrong. Wouldn't that be the obvious thing for God to do right now? Of course, you could have said the same thing for the last 1,000 years too. Because there's always been people that don't believe and never will. So, where is God? Where is he? And why can't we see him? Bow your heads in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you, Father, for a beautiful day. Thank you, Father, for this house that we call this church. And Father, it is here that we come to hear your message brought to us. We pray, Father, that you will bless and guide in everything that occurs here today. Open our hearts, open our minds, open my lips, Father, that I say exactly what you want me to say and bring the message in a way that brings glory and honor to your name, and then that we all accept it and take it into this world this week. Father, we want you to know that we love you and praise you above all things. And Father, we ask now for your presence here. We love you once again, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Hosea. And I think, brother, I made me some notes, but I think rather than do that, I'm going to do it this way. All right. Hosea 5, and actually, I think yours says a little bit different if you have that in your, up here. Yeah, you say 5-6, and that's good, but I'm going to go through 1-7 so that you'll get the whole picture. And it says, hear this, you priests, pay attention, you Israelites, listen, O royal house, this judgment is against you. You have been a snare at Mizpah, a net spread out on Tabor. The rebels are deep in slaughter. I will discipline all of them. I know all about Ephraim. Israel is not hidden from me. Ephraim, you have now turned to prostitution. Israel is corrupt. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. A spirit of prostitution is in their hearts. They do not acknowledge God. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sin. Judah also stumbles with them. When they go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They are unfaithful to the Lord. He has withdrawn himself from them. Because of what? Because of the sin that they live in. Well, let's turn over then to, let me get my note up there where I can see it a little bit. Micah, which is just a few pages over. Turn to Micah, and the third chapter, and the fourth verse. It says, then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. You know, that ought to give us all kind of a hint why we can't see God. Why? Because, I mean, golly, I'm a pretty good guy, I think. Maybe. But you see, I'm not perfect either. And neither are you. You see, we live in sin all of our lives. We live in sin. So why can't we see Him? Why doesn't He reveal Himself? Oh, people, let me bring some good news to you this morning. We can see Him. And He has revealed Himself to us. Oh, man. Really? Where? Didn't have to go very far, did you? I'll bet you if you started in Genesis, you're going to find that He revealed Himself. Genesis 3:8 says, the man and his wife. Excuse me. Got one down the wrong pipe. Genesis 3:8, the man and his wife. Who are we talking about? Adam and Eve. From the very beginning, he says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the cool of the day. And it goes on to say, they recognized him and hid. If they couldn't see him, how in the world did they recognize him? You see, God revealed himself to them. He was revealed to both of them at this time. And we know through the sin of the tree of the forbidden fruit, or the fruit of the forbidden tree or whatever. Anyway, we know that sin came into man. And it's at this point, God knows, but He's looking for them because He knows, because there's something changed. Sin has stepped into the picture. And so it says they recognized Him and they hid. They would have no reason to hide if they hadn't sinned. And the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Don't you suppose God knew where they were at? And He knew exactly what they had done, didn't He? Sin has entered into man, and God cannot face sin. He hates sin. And so He has hid His face from us because of our sin. Isaiah 45:15 says, truly you are a God who hides Himself, O God and Savior of Israel. Their hearts and their minds and everything about them has changed. Genesis 3:22 says that now they know good and evil. How about if we turn over just a few pages then and then find David? And in Psalms 10:1, it says he's asking God, why do you stand so far off? I haven't seen your face in some time. Boy, this is terrible. I don't like this. Try again. Psalms 13:1. How long will you hide your face from me? Psalms 89:46. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? You see, they question why God hasn't revealed himself too, but they don't understand. But we know now that David was in sin. And God cannot face sin, and He has turned His back even on David. So we know then that David also has seen God, because otherwise he wouldn't know that he was gone. But he hasn't seen him. Do you have any friends, loved ones that you haven't seen in a long time? You ever get concerned about that? Do you ever call them and say, You know, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Let's just talk. Don't you suppose that's how David felt too? I haven't seen you, Lord, in a long time, and that just breaks my heart. I want to sit down and just talk to you. Is this the only time then that God has revealed himself to us or to man? Boy, I hope you can say no on that one, because you know, you just have to know that this is not the only time. Didn't he reveal himself in the form of his son? Didn't Jesus come down and tell you that John 14:9 says that he who has seen me has seen who? Has seen the Father. Matthew 1:23 said that they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's when Jesus was just being born. And they're already telling you, people, this is a baby, but I'm telling you right now, this is God himself in baby form. He has come to see you. So he has revealed himself to us, hasn't he? Then let me ask you, what was the very thing that we did when he revealed himself to us? We rejected him. And we crucified him. Oh, what a wonderful thing to do to God. And you sit here this morning and wonder why God hasn't revealed himself to us. Every time he does, what happened? Adam and Eve rejected him. The apple looked better. Man rejected him. He deserved the cross. No, he didn't. You see, it wasn't God who that hid from Adam and Eve. And it's not God that hides from us now. It's the other way around. He has turned his back on the sins of this world, of which I'm a part of. And he turns his back to that stands between us and his physical appearance. In other words, God has never left us. He never left. He didn't leave them then. He doesn't leave David. He doesn't leave anybody. He doesn't leave you. He's never left. Who turned their back on who? You see, what happened is we turned to face Satan and his gifts or ways of life. He convinced us that this is so much more appealing than what God has for you. And so we turned to face the world, and God is still standing behind us right where he was at all along. He hasn't turned his back on us. We walk according to the ways of this world, and the only way that changes is when God speaks to you and he cries out to you, believe in me. I'm going to send you a present that's beyond belief. I'm going to send you my son. I know that a lot of us have children. And if you don't, you at least know little children, and they are wonderful. But we know how we feel about them. How many of you would give up one of your children for me? Just because if you'll do that, then I can live eternally, but your child has to die. How many of you would do that? You know, I look at my kids and now my grandkids and my great-grandkids and you. I love you guys dearly and all the people that I get to stand in front of and preach to. But I'm telling you, I don't believe I could give up one of them for any one of you. And yet he did. Freely, he gave it to us. So, you got to know that if you're going to know him, then you can't continue to walk in the ways of this world. That just can't be done. Because when you do that, you have to realize that if I'm looking at the ways of the world, I'm hiding from Jesus. I'm refusing who he is and what he did. We can't continue to do that. You know, it's gotten so bad that we walk in the ways of the world and we just believe and worship more the things of the world than we do of the one who gave his life for us. We are so bad about that do you realize we even been to choose who we worship and how we worship them? You've got to be very, very careful, because God told us that in the end times, be careful, people, for the false prophets will abound. Did he not say that? I want to stop for just a second and tell you, if you ever catch me telling you anything from this pulpit that I can't back up scripturally, shame on me, and I hope you jump all over me. But you see, he did say that. Which means let me back up just a little bit further. Do any of you believe we're in the end times? Yes, we do. We know we are. The one thing we don't know is when he's coming again. He said not even the angels in heaven know. Then I'm pretty sure if he didn't tell the angels in heaven, he sure didn't tell Charlie Martin. So we don't know the time when he's coming, but we do know that he is. So we're in the end times. Then that tells me be very, very careful of false prophets. I am not mentioning any name. I never will from this pulpit. But I know that we have pastors out there right now that will tell you, I'm good and you're good and God loves you just like you are. No, he doesn't. If he loved you just like you are, then why in the world did he send his son to die? You see, he doesn't like us like we are, because we've spent all this morning talking about we turned our back on him. And he's still standing behind us, calling for us, come home. You see, we can't pick and choose who we worship, and we sure cannot tell how we worship him. He has given us specific plans or directions who and how. You can't walk the ways of this world. Proverbs 1:24-25 says, but since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke. You see, we have gotten to the point where if God said it and we don't like it, Just forget it. God didn't really say that. He wouldn't say anything that would hurt you, would he? Yeah, he would. If to hurt you now means that you're going to be his forever. Yeah. Did you ever do that to your children? Did you ever tell them, this is going to hurt you worse than it does me? What a Savior we have. You see, but you guys have it all over those people that are out there that are doing, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect, and we won't be. The only way we're perfect is through His blood. But the ones that ought to know, and they don't, those pastors, those people, the Israelites, all the ones through all of history that should have known and didn't. Did you know that when the Bible is talking and it tells you in there that at the judgment that there will be those on his right and those on his left, and he'll tell him, depart from me, for I never knew you. You know, so many people think, oh yeah, but that's not me. That's those heathen sinners, you know, the rest of the world, but it's not me. Yes, it is you. If you didn't accept what he has told you, I'm standing up here telling you, and the pastor, Lee, all the other pastors you've had are standing up here telling you, you have got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you are lost. Well, if you choose to not believe that, then you are the one that he's talking to there. That's not those die-hard sinners that never heard the word of Jesus Christ or never were shown anything about Scripture on salvation and how to get it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the ones that really ought to know. All of you today, you're getting God's word passed to you every Sunday. I hope you are. I hope that you have a Bible. I hope that you read it. You have access to all of these things. And this is what he's saying. You have access to all of these things, and still you rejected me. And you are the one that stands before me today and says, I was in church every Sunday, and I opened my Bible every now and then, and I might have even talked to someone one time about maybe their salvation. You see, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, you had a chance. You should have known me. You should have been the one that's out there telling them all about me, and you didn't. Depart from me, for I never knew you. You know, Isaiah 11th chapter, 9th verse, is a really a neat verse. You can look it up now, or you can write that down, but it says, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, I thought that was, when I read that, what a neat statement that is. The waters cover as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine if we walked out here today and we walked out to the edge of the Pacific Ocean and there's no water? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, come on, an ocean, a sea, all of these things have to have water, don't they? I mean, isn't that what he said? Just as surely as the seas have water and cover them totally, that's how he is. That's how his love is for us. He loves you that much, just as the water covers the sea. Let's go back to Hosea 5:4-7. Then why won't God reveal himself to those who seek him? Well, I can tell you why. It's because when we seek Him, we only seek Him on our terms. Lord, would you come down and just take care of this little problem I've got? Oh, wait a minute. I didn't mean that way, Lord. I wanted you to do it this way. Now, I recognize you took care of my problem, but not really, Lord. Come on, you got to do it my way. You see, that's how we approach God. Lord, help me out, but do it my way. We seek it under our terms. And the Israelites were the same way. They went to Him, all right, but what kind of a Savior were they looking for? They wanted an earthly king, didn't they? And someone that they could kind of dictate to what you do and when. Micah 3:4 says, when we cry out to the Lord and it appears that He does not hear us, it could be, my friends, because we seek Him in our way instead of asking Him, Father, what do you want to do? You see, we need to see God as He wants to be in our lives, not how we want Him to be. I'm going to end this morning with this. Where is God and where are you? You see, God is hidden. But oh, friends, I bring you good news this morning. He is not going to stay that way. Now, I'm talking about physically hidden. We all know that God is here right now. I just can't see Him right now. And mostly because I'm still a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there are none righteous, no, not one. That means every one of us today is just as much a sinner as we ever were. Because we're surrounded by it. We're overwhelmed by it. But you have the promise of knowing He's standing right here. He will not let sin take you. People, again, you've heard me say so many times, He said in His word, I hold you in the palm of my hand and I will not let you go. Do you remember what I just said a while ago? That I will not tell you anything that is not covered by His word. You want that one? I'm going to give it to John 14, 1 through 4. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. John 10, 28, 29 says, I give them eternal life. Meaning He's talking about His sheep, which He means you. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can ever snatch them from my hand. That is scriptural, and that's what I just told you. And I use it a lot because I want my God to hold on to me so tight. Don't turn me loose. No matter what I do, Lord, please don't turn me loose. Hang on to me. So, is He coming again? Yes, He is. As His child, we can't see Jesus. Not right now. But we do know that at the ascension, He ascended into heaven, didn't He? And in the eyes of all kinds of witnesses, they knew that He went. But what else did He do? He said, I will not leave you alone. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Do we have presence with God right now, even though I'm a sinner? You bet you do. And this is what tells us, you know what you're doing right now? That's wrong. And God doesn't like it. Please change. This is the still small voice talking to you inside. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God Himself talking to us. He never left us alone. And then He says, do not be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, and He did. We know that because we just said so. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, People don't ever let that if be a question mark to you. That if it's translated rightly, is a definite. So more realistically, it's saying, because I go, I will come again. And I will take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he? He's in heaven. He just gave you a promise. And he said, where I am, there you may be also. Don't feel bad when we go out of the house, his house this morning, and do something really foolish and really stupid. And we know that hurt God. It did. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. It covers you. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. Let me leave you with that. God's talking to you. Remember last week I told you, I believe with all of my heart that every pastor should be standing at the pulpit every Sunday, and his sole purpose is to make sure that I have taken you all the way from where you are to the foot of the cross. And now you can look up, and I can guarantee you, there's what will save you. If you've never made that decision, I would ask that you make it today, because none of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. No guarantees. No guarantees of the next breath. I'm not trying to scare you. Yes, I am. I'm trying. I hope it scares all of us plumb to death. I hope it scares us all the way to the altar and on our knees and saying, God, forgive me for what I did. I'm your child now. But if you haven't, and if you're just dead set that I'll wait till our real pastor's here next week or whenever it is, then I'll allow that if God will allow you that time. But I'm not sure that he will. So if you're worried, come see me. And we'll talk about it. I want you to stand and let's close with a word of prayer and also the closing song. As soon as we've sang Don't Disappear, let's just have a quick word of prayer to God and let turn the rest of the week over to him.